work. That if they wanted to appoint other people, or there'd be some elections and some appointments,
Now here, for instance, the manager here retired, right? So they take the manager from San Francisco and transfer him over here. No election. They need a business agent. The business agent passes away or he dies. They appoint somebody.
And then
the general executive appoints somebody. Or the joint board appoints somebody. Then they have an election. They are in there for the joint board, the membership, unless there is an organized opposition. See? And who wants to bother with opposition? You know, their interest. If they make a living, and they promise them they'll give them a better job. It was only, see, in my days, in the olden days, was Schneid, Weinstein, South Spivak, Sarah Rasner. We wanted to unseat, so we unseated him. We unseated the administration. Hillman came in and appointed him for hire. You know, that's laughable, but that's... But we showed them that we had the power, don't you see? There was some maneuvering, some power behind the rank and file. But now there's nothing.
And then that was lost, really. That was really lost. People stopped fighting the leadership, really. Except the scattered individuals.
Well, now I tell you, there is more alertness in the basic industry than there is in the middle trades. In the middle trades used to be the revolutionary, and they're dying. It seems that, at least as far as I know, everything is cut and dry. Now there is no resentment in the automobile industry, mm-hmm. in the automobile union, or the steel workers
union. The miners, too.
Look what the miners did. They fixed them up with good. I hope that this owner, whatever his name is, will bring about better conditions, healthier conditions, bringing some improvement in the mine proper. I remember the Upton Sinclair describing the and every time we used, as a child, as a youngster, used to put coal in the oven and see blood. I mean, I was so conscientious of the fact. Coal diggers. The life. I was, that's why I couldn't work a uniform. I was so sensitive to these things. I was so sold on these things as a youngster. How many go to that extent? How many have that feeling? I don't know. That's how. I don't know if it's good or bad, but that's the way I was. I could never put a shovel of coal in the oven without being conscious of the fact that maybe some poor coal miner there is on it. That's why when there was a differential between John Lewis and Howard, the progressive miner leader. But now I don't know. I don't know what goes on. I really am not up.
While we're on the miners, in fact.
Huh?
While we're on the miners.
Yeah.
You once mentioned something about a Lewis incident that I should remind you to tell me about it, and we never got back to it.
Well, you got the book. You read Landico's book on John Lewis and Hillman. Now, he tells you, I don't want to quote, because I can't quote exactly, but the essence of it is, the thing is, Hillman, I think this was between 1920 and 22, Howard was leading a strike against Lewis, John L. Lewis. Nobody knows how many people were killed and how they were killed.
In the strike, you mean?
Yeah, in the fight, not in the strike. Between the Progressive Miners Union and John L. Lewis. And I recall when Hillman compared the Miners Union to our struggle with the United Garment Workers. And then years later, I told you this, all the shops were stopped up because John L. Lewis coming in to speak, address the members of the inaugurated. And I said to him, I said, what the hell you call this? How long is it since you said that you compared him to United Garment Workers? He said, well, people can change. I think we'd like a picture frame. You take one in, put one out. I mean, you got to think. To make a lot of fun, he did. He's different between Hillman and Lewis. John Lewis died a rich man, Hillman died a poor man. See, Hillman was no. No, you see, there's one thing about Hillman. He didn't die a rich man. I think Frank Rosenblum died, as far as money goes, much richer than Hillman. He knew how to invest his money better than Hillman. He didn't make any money from the union. He didn't. He was as honest as the day's long. I could vouch for top leadership. I could vouch. There wasn't. I said he didn't take 1 cent. I couldn't say that for the underling, for the subordinates. But as far as the top leadership is concerned, they were as honest as can be, including Potofsky.
Well, when was the switch to supporting Lewis?
Well, when the CIO came in.
Oh. Now, what about, that's my other thing I wanted to go back to.
Who?
We never talked about the formation of the CIO. How you felt about all of that. Did you go to that convention?
To the CIO convention? No, I don't. I went to the when they united the CIO AFL in San Francisco. Yes, I went to that. I always spoke in favor of the United Labor Movement. I believe in the United Labor Movement. Even though I used to talk to Frank Rosen before this came about. He was a wise old eye. You know, when I watched Franklin Roosevelt's son the other day, James Roosevelt, the son of a bitch. Did you see it?
When he was in where?
No, he was talking in favor of Proposition 1. He was endorsing the government's proposition. Rosenblum, when he was running here, he gave orders here not to endorse him. And the local organization endorsed him anyways. He says, he's a phony. Frank said, he's a phony. There are certain things that come up in my lifetime where I had reason to believe Frank to be a real leader.
Well, Sarah, with the founding of the CIO, though, particularly because the Amalgamated was not associated with anything after they walked out of the, after they were kicked out of the AFL. Did you feel a new hope for the labor movement when the CIL was founded in 33?
When the CIL was founded? Mm-hmm. Well, if you... Certainly I did. As I say, not only did I sense a brighter day for labor, but I was hoping that they would labor the whole, the AFL and they all would get together eventually. I'm sorry that the thesis works called. I'm sorry that they are not united. They expel them. What good does that do? Farmers. It's a struggle. I believe in the United Labor Movement. Don't you?
I'm not sure. See, because I think that the end result of what happened is that the more progressive forces were pulled down when it was united.
No, it's organized. See, I asked Frank about that. I asked him. I said, "What's going to be? I said, how are you going to manage?" He's the head international. See, it isn't like it's one compact. It's divided. You have your international. You can't lump them all together. You can't take the Thesis Union and put them into Westmaker's local. You have to have representatives from that branch. But in the main, you have one voice, a strong voice, to combat a bastard like Nixon, for instance. Not like you had the AFL president. I know what you mean. The dream that you could pour in, I dream of, and I hope for, nice dream. I know just what you mean. I sense, I know, and I agree with you. It's far, far away. Who was it? It was what's his name? A writer. I can't remember his name, but I do remember the essence of what he said, and I use that expression, or that quotation rather, very often. Again, you're going to say, you interpret socialism your way. This writer, I can't think of his name. Beimiller, I think was. I heard this lecture, must have been in 1932. Is on the ruins of civilization, a new horizon will come. And on the ruins, real socialism will be built. Then you have your wish that you don't have to worry that the Teamsters are doing the Shabbos, what they're doing. In the meantime, what else do you know?
Now, Cyril, are you getting tired?
No. Go ahead.
We started last time to talk about your decision to retire.
Yeah.
Now, why? You said then that you wanted, that retiring from the shop was fine, but you wanted to stay active in the union. What was your idea of how you could stay active after you retired from the shop, though?
That's easy. If I would have had my health, I would have continued being active, going on the picket line, 10 meetings, which I can do. But I did. I went on the picket line. I was on picket line at 5 o'clock. For some time, I kept it up. See, I've never been back to the shop. See, some people, they go back. They miss the shop. The shop in itself, I couldn't live without the shop. I couldn't live without activities, what it meant to me. It meant an awful lot to me.
Well, did you see some way of staying active in the local, even though you weren't in the shop anymore?
Oh, I could have. But of course they didn't let me. They didn't let me. See, I could have gone out and speak for, I go out, dress strikers. They do that. I've done that in Chicago. I've done that. They didn't like my ways, I don't think so, I don't know. Now they follow the law, women. They can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. They're very nice to me now.
Now, so you retired, though, in 58.
Yeah.
Now, when did you get the idea about the scholarship?
Oh, while I was working.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to start in 59, is that it?
I don't know. I think it was 58, wasn't it?
59 was most of the stuff I saw. It was all dated 59.
Well, at any rate, it's on record. I don't know.
Where did the idea come from?
What do you mean? The idea came from me. I wanted to establish something. I wanted a continuation of education in the amalgamated. See, I had this education movement in the shop. Now I wanted a continuation. I was interested primarily in black, because it seemed to me that they needed more help than the liberals. They were coming in numbers. In the industry, and I thought it would be nice to have somebody prepared to meet the needs of the industry as well as the union. And so originally I specified I want either a Negro, Mexican, and Japanese. That's my original request.
But it was specifically for women, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Only.
Yeah. But then they penciled them. It was discriminating. I shouldn't put down black or just women.
But so that was discriminating, though.
Huh?
But to say just women was discriminating.
Well, but I wanted specifically women.
Have there ever been something like this before?
No.
This was the first time?
This didn't happen anywhere in any part of any organization where an individual member of a union should make such a attempt.
Okay, so now you gave this $500.
Yeah.
And that they were supposed to continue putting money into it?
Every local was supposed to respond, and they did. They started. And manager says it was Luke's fault, and Luke says it was the business phase's fault. And
so each local was supposed to put money in?
They were supposed to contribute, yeah.
And then this would enable the person chosen to take...
And you have the join board minutes. It tells you exactly what it's supposed to do. See, I can't quote you exactly what it is. Yeah?
Here's this. Sister Sarah Rosner contributed $500 for the in-union training of a relatively young female member. The object of the four-week course of study was to train upon blah, 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 blah. Okay, here's where it's in, this is to you, this letter, from Posner. This is in 1962. Here. Joint board meeting. The committee agreed to request that locals comprising the joint board be asked to contribute funds to the project so that it may be continued. Sister Olay Neck reported that last year's winner felt she was deprived. She derived much valuable information material from. There's a balance of $165 in the project fund. This was February 1959. So it never says what the other locals gave. If anyone ever gave more than your $500. You don't know if more was given?
I don't know.
Well, how many were given finally? See, here's the third annual scholarship. This one.
So what difference does this make?
So there were three given. Is that right?
And then what?
There were three. It was done for 3 years and then that was it?
It was, as far as I know, there was only two of them that were selected.
No, because see, here's a post, this is a poster that I guess was supposed to go up in the shop.
Yeah.
That was for the third annual.
There were only two that were, one was from Arizona, and the one that is in the office today, she's still there.
So those were the only two?
That I know of.
And then the whole thing died?
Seems that way.
So no one else?
No follow-up.
There was no committee that kept pushing it to raise money to keep it going?
Evidently not. You got enough for that as a chapter. You want more? Listen. One blames the other. So what have I... See, if I would have been up to it physically, I would went for the joint board. I can still go. Well, there's new managers, new top leadership. What the hell am I going to do? This one promised me he's going to go to the CIO, to the AFL-CIO, calling, what's his name, the secretary for consultation, see what to do about it. He wanted to do something about it. I said, don't call the CIO, do something about it. I don't give a damn, I don't care if it's not my name. Put down your name. But keep it going.
Well, what I'm trying to find out is why you think, what was behind it not keeping
behind up? Negligence, nothing.
Just negligence. I mean, it wasn't, didn't have anything to do with you or to
no, 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 no. Nothing at all. Nothing. It's just, the idea is, they're giving scholarships, as you notice in the advent. This is the point I raised, that I'm going to go down to, I'll find out more about it. I get to speak to Leonard Levy. See, I raised that question, and he wasn't there. And I'm expecting Miller, the assistant to the president of the international, I mean of the national organization. She didn't show up. There was some plane trouble. Now, then when I went down last time, so Leonard was at a convention. See if I could get myself together tomorrow, for instance. But I don't feel as though I can go down at the afternoon, but I'm not, I can do just so much. Now, I don't want to overdo. I do just some, sometimes I do things. I don't want to say that I'm sorry, but I don't want to do, I literally don't want to do, overdo things. I'm still hoping if I can get myself together tomorrow, I'll go down to the office. They have a meeting from the retired, in the Gregory Board meeting. What I want of them is not so much of this, I'll try and shoot two birds with one stone if I possibly, if I get a hold of Leonard, I'll find out about the woman's look. But primarily, I want to find out why in the hell they're putting a name here and a name there. Why don't they have a name for Beata Blanca or Bessie Hillman? I'm sure, in my own heart, I know that Hillman could have never been Hillman if not for Bessie. And they're having a childcare in Baltimore for Bloomberg, and all the activities were centered around the Dorothy Blanco and Mimi Santora and Sarah Brinsky. You see, there was all women around it, but the Schwanz kept the And I want to bring that up.
Did you write a letter to the advance? Why don't you write a letter to the advance about that?
They won't publish it. They won't publish it. I'm sorry, I threw out, they send you some kind of flip-flop notice when you get your check. They got a new innovation there. It's not that this has to go through the joint board, it has to go through a regular way. There's rules and regulations. It's not, you have to abide by laws. Rules and regulations. The event will not publish anything that members write. That's a thing of the past. I tried it. I wanted that. So Frank answered me and said, sure the children appreciate it. Took the liberty in giving them the letter that I wrote to the events. Well, but I think that this is what now now, here I see, it's so plain here. Hillman, the best leader, became Lex without an alert membership. I wasn't bashful. To the membership, see? And who the hell would dare do that?
But, see, why... The big question, which I don't think anyone has ever answered, is why did the membership become lax?
Why did they become prosperous so they became lax? Feel them enough. I don't know. I'm just... some don't. It's hard to answer. I know one thing. I'm only one lousy individual. But people that were under my influence, far and wide, and they're scattered all over the United States, they'll never walk through a picket line. I can vouch for that. They're multi-con millionaires and everything else. It could be Schwarz and Weiss and Green. I put it in... I talked to a woman here that... pretty wealthy. I saw a picket line, she says, I wouldn't walk through, I was thinking of Sarah. I mean, that gives me, it gives me a lift at the age of 81, I'll be 81 pretty soon. I mean, that's, it's not much, is it?
I think it's a lot.
Huh? Well...
Listen, if you give one person in this world a conscience, you've done a lot.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. But I haven't moved mountains. I did touch some conscience. I did reach some conscience. I'm not... I tried. I'm no angel. I did good. I did some bad. Brookwood, this is... Now what do you want to do with this? She cooked me out and they made a surprise party. All right. Now here is something. You see, this was in 1929. Actually, I spell it E-X instead of, oh, it's a lot, but I got a C. It's pretty good. That's very personal.
Oh, the man! So, did you ever make it with him, Sarah?
What?
Did you ever get together with him?
What does it say there?
Nothing happened here.
It did? I said there is a sequence to it, don't I? Yes, you didn't read it right.
At the end?
Yeah.
I can't read the last part there.
I know. All right. I'll make it clear.
So is this your first lover?
It's my first intriguing, whatever you want to call it. It was 1929.
Are you going to tell me more, or are you just going to tease me?
You want me to tell you everything you want?
Well, where did he come from?
He's dead. They're all dead.
But he wasn't in the Union.
No. ahead. I kept clear. He was in the union one time.
Oh, but he wasn't anymore.
No. I wouldn't. No, he was... Does it tell you where that I was coming out of the shop? No.
No, it just says the picture. He was driving you.
Yeah, I came out of the shop. There was a big automobile. What was it? Buick. It was a nice day. I was going to dressmaker, I think. I was having a dressmaker or something. Nothing happened. But, see, I felt funny. Okay.
Telling good night, good morning.
You wrote every day?
Every day.
What, postcards or letters?
Whether I mailed it or not.
Oh.
No, but I did. I think you got the envelopes and all. It's all there.
Okay. I'll look at all that. You need a nap, I think. I think you need a nap.
Oh, I need a good night's sleep, and I think I'm going to do that and see if I can get up tomorrow.
Don't, when you have trouble sleeping, don't you take sleeping pills? Or not?
Well, I do, but not when I can avoid it. I'd rather stay up and read and sing to myself. You got a crazy Hungarian fellow that will live with. But she's nice anyway.
Yeah. She'll do. She makes good soup. I think we'll keep her around. She makes good soup.
So they tell me. Anyway, they think I make it.
You don't think so?
Oh, I do. I do. No, really, because when I go out to eat, I come home, I appreciate myself. I go out, see, I get tired fixing for myself, you know.
Do you like borscht?
Borscht? I got borscht in
Uncle. No. But real Russian hot Russian borscht.
Oh,
borscht.
No.
You don't like it.
The flunkin?
With cabbage and...
I like everything. I have an international taste. It fixes me if I think of poor Rebecca August. I remember how she was being.
She's not, when I saw her, that was a long time ago, she was not very happy over there. All those people could talk about was their diseases.
Oh.
And she wanted to talk about world affairs.
Oh.
And no one was interested. They just wanted to talk about their sicknesses. So that's a terrible thing about, it's terrible in this country to get old, I'm afraid.
No.
You end up being pushed away.
You know, they say in Hebrew and in Jewish that they took it all. Jesus Christ, I don't know what keeps me going, but I hope I never live to go there. I'll take the bottle. I don't know.
And I think it's especially bad in Los Angeles because it's so hard to get around.
It is upper hard.
It's a very...
It is.
For an old person... Well, like where we live.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't... It makes me very unhappy. There are old-timers there who've lived there for 50 years. But once they can't drive anymore...
What did
they have to move.
The funniest thing, when I came out here... In 1938, when I came down to settle down here, I went out with Dick in those places. Palace.
Oh, yeah.
For nothing. Place in Texas.
But it's very sad. I had an idea the other day. I was trying to do it. I don't know.
start in the community service, get not a taxi company, but like a jitney.
Yeah.
For the old, not, not, in Chicago they used to call it livery, where you arrange ahead of time that you want to be picked up and taken somewhere, so that those people can still live in the canyon. Now, just like our neighbor, there's an old woman who used to live above us. I don't know how old she was. She was quite old. She lived there 60 years. And our neighbor used to take her to shopping and to leave somewhere type of place. That's why when I offer to take you shopping and things, you shouldn't give me a hard time. Because I want someone to do it for me someday.
I did it.
Well, remember that. But it's hard to find.
So
just remember that I have an offer to take you shopping or to take you places.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye. You're too sweet.
You're my daughter.
Your granddaughter.
My granddaughter.
No, not your bit. No, my mother is 56.
No.
I mean, unless you married it when you were 15.
Well, my mother did.
My sister-in-law did.
Your sister?
My sister-in-law. I told you, my sister-in-law married when she was 15. Her mother was 16, and her grandma was 16. So her grandma, huh? Her grandmother is just a few years older than my mother. My nieces have a great grandmother who's about my mother's age.
Okay, now.
Okay, you rest. All right, I'll see you next week. Okay, try and go to your meeting tomorrow and give them.
Yeah, well, it's not my meeting.
Their meeting.
Let him bargain. Let him throw me out. Let him try.